Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out not only more about me, but also about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And you can also read a variety of articles and things that I have there, some links to some various materials. And you can listen to past programs. If you don't catch all 2 hours of our program on Sunday nights, for instance, you can find links to the first hour, because we're on actually from 10 till midnight, but in some areas we're only on from 11 till midnight. And you can check out that extra hour as well. And you can also hear our Friday afternoon program every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. We're on in northeastern Ohio on AM 1220 The Word, and so you can hear that as well. And, you know, you can always listen to some of these programs live on the air at WHKWRadio.com, or you can download the app. It's an easy, convenient way. In fact, that's what I do. I have an app for AM 1220 The Word, WHK Radio here northeastern Ohio, and I can listen to programs, and when I'm traveling and somebody fills in for me, I can listen to them just using my smartphone and downloading the 1220 app. All right, well, anyway, we'll get to a number of other things here tonight as well, but do check us out online, livewithpastoral.com, and give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. That number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to jump into some things. Last hour, we were talking about a variety of things. We were talking about things about fathers that carry over from last week. We were talking about Father's Day last week and responsibilities for fathers. And I believe Cheryl is still with us, and we'll wrap up the subject on Father's Day because I want to transition into some other things. Plus, I've got another caller who's waiting patiently for us tonight. Cheryl, are you still with us there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Yeah, we were coming up on the break there pretty quickly, and we were talking about the necessity for fathers to be right with God themselves. We saw that in several passages. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, we're instructing fathers, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. That's the father's responsibility to take care of himself. And then he said, but teach them thy sons and thy sons. Now that you take care of yourself, you can teach your sons and your grandsons, basically your children and your children's children. And then in Deuteronomy 6, we looked at the verse where he said in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So the other thing too is you need to make this a part of yourself, so that when you're talking to your children, it's not like, okay, now children, we're going to church today, I want you to know this and behave and do this and do that because we're at church today, and then never talk of anything spiritual again the rest of the week. He's saying you're to talk about these things to your children diligently when you're sitting around in your house, when you're walking by the way, traveling somewhere with them, when you're lying down, you know, going to bed at night. People sometimes talk. Remember, a lot of these times, these people lived in a shared, a common room, and people would chat as they were going to sleep and or just resting. And when thou risest up, when you get up in the morning, talk about spiritual things with your children. Make it a part of your life. And then I was going to give something else here in Psalm 78, which is kind of interesting. He starts out in Psalm 78 talking in verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known." And then notice what he says here. "And our fathers have told us." See these things, he's saying, these are things that we heard from our fathers. Our fathers did what the law said to do, to teach them to us diligently, to talk about these things with us. And then he says in the next verse in Psalm 78, verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." And, I mean, when you think about that, and he just continues here in this Psalm 78, verse 5, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might see their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." And you know, this is interesting when you look at this. You're to command and that they teach their children, and he's talking about learning from your fathers and then passing on to your children, that they can pass it on to their children, so that the generations to follow will not forget the things of God. And to keep them from being like those who descended from a stubborn and rebellious generation that did forget the things of God. So a lot of important stuff there for fathers, isn't there? Do we still have Cheryl with us?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you there. Yeah, a lot of important information there for fathers, isn't there?
Well, there is, but that's why, see, last week was like a teaser.
Yeah. Well, and it was at the end of the program, I believe, and so we just had just a couple of minutes.
Short, but I really appreciate not leaving the conversation with that brief and answer, because you can see the context and the applications are massive, and it would come up with a lot of, you know, what the child is involved in and hopefully would ask questions. But some of the time, you know, they aren't thinking of it, and the father has to kind of, you know, say, this is a teachable moment, and, you know, take the advantage of that. And, but it's a big responsibility, you know, big responsibility for fathers. And, on Mother's Day, we can talk about mothers too, but, you know, this one was fathers and the head of the household and all that. And, the one that's directly under Jesus. So, yes, thank you for all of that. And we might have scratched the surface a little deeper, but we haven't gone the whole depth.
Well, there's a whole lot more, and like you said, we scratched the surface a little bit. We're a little deeper than we did last week, but good information.
Deeper than last week. Yep, that was a teaser.
I appreciate that. And thanks for calling back this week to get us back onto the topic there so that we could delve a little deeper into this. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yes, I do too. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that. Thanks for calling, and I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Terry, who's been holding on patiently, waiting for us. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening.
Well, good evening. Welcome. Glad to have you with us tonight.
You brought up a good, well, there's a point about darkness that's in people's lives.
Yes.
Because people love darkness rather than the light.
Well, and it says because men's deeds are evil. That's why they love the darkness rather than the light. You know,
it's so sad because I see it around me everywhere I go.
Yeah, you know, I always like to tell it when we talk about people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, when I was in basic training in the Air Force, the Lackland Air Force Base, where everybody went through at the time, and I think that's still the case. What was that? 1983, I believe it was. And I went into we're in the dorm there, and we had these tile floors, and you know, when you're there, you know, of course, the sergeants like to make you clean the floor and polish them. And I'm a sparkle, you know. And he had this big flashlight. This is before the LEDs and everything. He had this big flashlight. It looked like it was 10 foot long, chock full of batteries. You know, it was only about a foot long or so, but it was a bright light. And we'd get the barracks cleaned and mop the floor and get it shining. It looks like it's perfect. And you know, no matter how good a job you think you did, when he got down on the floor and laid that flashlight down and shined the beam across the floor, any little grain of sand, any tiny little piece of lint that was on the floor would cast a shadow on the floor. And he'd say, "This floor's dirty. Mop it again." You hated when he brought the flashlight out, because you thought that you did a good job, and really you did. But sometimes I think he carried some pocket lint to throw down the floor or something. But you hated the light because it would show up any imperfection, any dirt on the floor that you thought was clean. You could convince yourself it was clean, but when that flashlight came out, you couldn't deny it. And that's just the same thing. People hate the light because, well, their deeds are evil. It shows it up. Just like that guy's flashlight would light up any dirt or debris that was on the floor when you thought you had it clean. So.
Yeah, that, you know, detectives, when people go in to find blood, they use something to that.
Yeah, the black light, because it, fluoresces, I believe it is. I think it is.
Blood on the floor.
Yeah, and they can show up and see, even though people think that they've cleaned it up. You know, it's amazing, you know, in Richfield, Ohio, where I live and where our church is, we have one of the, what we call the BCI, Bureau of Criminal Investigation. It's under the Ohio State, Ohio Attorney General's office. And if you've ever seen any of those, what are those shows where they used to do like all the forensic stuff, it's kind of the same thing. We used to joke they needed to have a BCI Richfield show, you know, and when they have a crime scene somewhere, there's been a murder or something takes place, oftentimes you'll see it, even though it might be in Cleveland, it might be in Akron, it might be in Canton or wherever, and you'll see these vans there that say BCI on the side, and that's these investigators. Like you said, they'll come in and they'll try to find those hidden, you know, forensic clues to be able to help solve the crime, figure out what happened. And, you know, people go through great measure sometime trying to clean up and cover up everything. But, you know, they have abilities to be able to find things even when they think they've hit it. And that's nothing compared to what God can do. We think we cover up everything we do. We look pretty good. But when God's light shines down across our heart, any little imperfection just casts a big shadow, doesn't it?
Yeah, we can't run from God. He knows our every move.
So
He knows that we're going 100 kilometers an hour or 100 miles an hour in a 50 miles.
No, see, you're going kilometers. Between Canadian speed limits and American speed limits.
That's a sad thing too, you know, the way people drive anymore.
Yeah.
Terrible. But anyway, I thought that was a good point to bring up because, you know, I see it on my job too. Like it's hard, to deal with people that, you know, they rather, you know, their whole life is living for pleasure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what shall gain us if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul?
Right. That's what Jesus said about the rich man. He's gonna build down tear down his barns and build bigger ones to hold all of his stuff, and he's just thinking about all the things he's doing for himself. But yeah, what happens when you die? And you go out into eternity without Christ, doesn't matter. what you have, you're still going out into a Christless eternity if you haven't taken care of the important things, the spiritual matters. So
that's an interesting point you brought up in Proverbs.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of Proverbs were written by Solomon. So
yeah, I say Solomon or Proverbs. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wisdom in that book, and I believe that people should really spend a lot of time in there.
And you bring up a good point, because one of the reasons that I like to preach through books of the Bible is, and I have nothing against topical preaching, and some people excel at topical preaching, and I can do it, and I do it on occasion, and I do it, to a degree, it's topic oriented a lot of times, on the radio and things like that, and on our Friday night Bible study. But mostly on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, I preach expository through books of the Bible. And, left to myself, I would probably spend a lot of time preaching on Bible prophecy, on creation, and the scriptures. And there's certain things that I would, they're my favorite subjects. And there's a lot of things that I would avoid preaching on because I just don't care to spend time on those particular subjects. They're not my favorite subjects. But I've been preaching through the book of Proverbs. I'm currently in the middle of Proverbs chapter 24. And I'll guarantee, going through Proverbs, I have had to preach on things that, left to myself, I would have said, I think I'll put this topic off, or this subject off, for another time. And I pretty much guarantee that another time would never have come. But because I'm going through endeavoring to preach the whole counsel of God, I have to hit those topics as I come to them. And like I said, I've had to preach through some topics and go through some subjects that, quite frankly, I would rather have avoided, or rather have just moved on and, well, we'll get to this at another time. But because I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs, I have to touch on them as I come to them. And so I do it partly because it helps me to stay focused, but it also helps me to preach everything in the Bible rather than just major on what I like to talk about, rather than everything else that's in the Bible.
Yeah, we need to study like all the books in order to understand things that are even written in Solomon, for instance.
Oh yeah.
Or in Proverbs.
Yeah. And it's just,
it all comes together.
Yeah, when it says scriptures of any private of any private interpretation, the idea, it's not just it just means whatever you want it to mean. It means also really that none of it's is to be interpreted strictly on its own without consideration of the rest of the scripture, because it all ties together, God's word. So
that's why. So, and how can we live by every word of God if we're not studying the whole word?
Right, right. And of course, Paul famously told Timothy, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season." Meaning all the time preaching the word and being faithful to it. And one of the reasons that he said that, he warned there in 2 Timothy, let me just flip over there real quick, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 here, where he said, preach the word, and he says in verse number 3, here's what I'm looking for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Meaning there's going to come a time where people don't want to hear everything that's in the Bible, only what they want to hear.
Yeah, and that's a big problem in the world, in the churches today.
Yeah, and that's what it says.
They go to churches where they hear what they want to hear.
Yeah, and that's what it said there in verse 3. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears.
Itchy ears.
They only patronize those that tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. I remember I remember a guy starting a church one time. This is probably a good 20 years or so ago. And he was interviewed in one of the local papers, just a local community paper. And they wanted to know what his philosophy was, what the church was going to be like and things like that. And he said, we did a survey because we wanted to find out what people want from their church. And I was asked about it. I remember the context somehow. We were talking about it. I was asked about it, something. And I said, well, wouldn't it be better to find out what God wants from the church and do what God wants the church to do and teach what God wants to be taught rather than what the people want? You know, church is not democracy. So.
And they try to, and there's some churches, they accept everybody. Like I was talking to a church the other day, and the person I was talking to said that we accept everybody, all beliefs.
Well,
that's a big problem.
Well, you know, truth be told, we do accept everybody, but we accept everybody, but we proclaim the same message, you must be born again.
Right.
If you want to go to heaven, you know, if you want the forgiveness of sins and be assured of a place in heaven, you know, everybody can be there, but everybody has to come through the same door, and that door is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Elsewhere, he specifically said, I am the door. And so everybody can come.
At the same time, everybody can come, but at the same time, we need to, they need to know the truth. We need to teach truth to them.
Yes.
Continuously.
Yes.
If they're in error, then there needs to be correction in a loving way.
And that's part of what church is supposed to be for, is to not only proclaim the truth, but also to correct error. And when you're just merely giving people what they want to hear, well, if what they want to hear isn't necessarily true, then you're really not doing what you're supposed to do, are you?
Right, and that's a big problem, I believe, in the churches today.
Yeah.
We're overlooking, you know, the problems.
Yeah, and
so
that's
we all agree, you know, to disagree.
Yeah, and that's what Paul was warning Timothy about. People would reject sound doctrine and heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, only hearing and learning and seeing what they want.
And so, never coming to the understanding knowledge of the truth, too. That's another problem.
Yeah, yeah. So we have to constantly be on guard, constantly preaching the Word of God. And that's one of the reasons I like to preach through books of the Bible, because it keeps me not only in the Word of God, proclaiming and preaching and teaching the Word of God, but it keeps me, you know, focused and keeps me following not what the world says or what I think, but what God says.
Right.
So
important.
Yes.
Or we could be careful, because if we're not careful, we can end up being like the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm. Oh, easily. And
they had so many laws, so many different laws, and that, you know, their own laws. They made their own sins, their own laws. I mean, and sometimes, you know, if let's say if a person was sick, for instance, they'd say because they sinned is the reason why they're sick.
And, you know, I mean, that may happen on occasion, but, you know, the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike.
On the just.
Sometimes we get sick simply because we live in a sick world. And it doesn't mean because you got sick that God's, reprimanding you or mad at you about something. It may just be that you're in a world where sickness thrives, and you might want to thank God that you didn't get any sicker than what you did get. So.
Yeah, and, you know, Yeshua, I always say Yeshua, Jesus, you know, the rabbis asked him a question, you know, who sinned, you know, when he was talking to the blind man.
Oh, yeah, that he was born blind, and they thought maybe his parents sinned, but go ahead, there's another interesting aspect to that, but go ahead.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is that they believe that the man sinned, so he was shunned. He was born because he's a sinner, or he sinned, or whatever. That's the reason why he was blind.
Yeah, and the other thing they said, who sinned? You know, meaning was it his parents that sinned, and they were cursed with a son that was blind because of some bad thing that they did? But when they actually asked, you know, who sinned? This is in John chapter 9. It starts in verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, saw a man which was blind from his birth. And that's a key point. And his disciples asked him, it was actually his disciples, not the Pharisees and all. So his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? Now notice what they ask.
All right.
Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Let's unpack that for a second. We understand the principle. Did his parents do something terrible and so God cursed them with a blind son? But they also said, did he sin so therefore he was born blind? You know what that was asking about? Could this man have lived before is reincarnation a reality? Did this man do something in a previous life that he's cursed in this life with blindness? And Jesus answered in verse 3, and I know we're coming up on the break here. Jesus answered in verse 3, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in them, or in him. He said he's not blind because his parents sinned, and nor did he sin in a previous life, because after all, as the Bible points out, it's appointed unto man once to die and after this to judgment. He did not live before and then become reincarnated. The Bible categorically denies reincarnation. That's a false teaching. That's something we could get into at another time, but we don't have time with just a couple minutes left in the break here before the break. But the whole idea of reincarnation, which people wondered about even then, you know, the disciples who were walking with Jesus wondered about reincarnation. And so they asked, did this man sin? Meaning, was he sinning in another life? That he was born blind? And Jesus said, no, that's not the case at all. This man did not sin in another life. The main reason is that he never had another life. You know, this man was created at the moment of conception. He became a new person, a new creation of God, and he was born blind. Jesus said that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Well, it's not that God wanted to see a blind man sitting around just so he had the pleasure of healing him. Blindness happens because we're in a cursed world, and so things happen, and there's disabilities. But God planned on healing that person. And so that's where he said that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So blindness happened because we're in a sin-cursed world. But God took that man from his blindness and manifested his miraculous power and showed that he could open this blind man's eyes. It also telegraphs to us, or gives us another message, because unsaved people are spiritually blind until God opens their eyes and enables them to see. And so just like he can open physical eyes as shown by this man, that also illustrates to us that he can open spiritual eyes as well. And when you consider that, really there's a profound lesson that's in there. There's no reincarnation at all. It's appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. So so we're coming up on the break. There's about 2 minutes to go.
Well, thank you for taking my call off.
But I appreciate it, Terry, and you always bring up some good points. So thank you for joining us here tonight, and God bless. And our phone number is, we got another half hour to go, and you can still get on. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. In the next half hour, I also wanted to touch on something that happened yesterday that a lot of people aren't aware of. The attempted coup in Russia, where it looked for a little bit yesterday that Putin was going to be ousted in Russia. If you haven't heard about this, you're not alone. And we're going to touch on some of that and look at some things that perhaps that had implications and may yet have implications in terms of some Bible prophecies. So hopefully we'll get into that in the next half hour. But again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, that number is 888 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com, and you can learn more about us there. And we're going to take a short break, and we will be back. And like I said, hopefully try to unpack a few things with the coup, or was it a coup, that happened or seemed to be happening or almost happened in Russia yesterday. It was kind of exciting watching it transpire through some various information sources. But stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be with you until midnight yet tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Learn more about me. You can listen to past programs there. Also, there's a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And you can check all that out, livewithpastoral.com. I want to jump into something here that transpired yesterday, and one of the more curious things that I've seen in a long time is the coup that was or wasn't that attempted and appeared like it was going to unseat Putin in Russia. And what happened, if you're not familiar with this, is the Wagner Group, which is kind of a a private military for hire group in Russia, and they've been in Ukraine doing a number of things in Ukraine on behalf of Russia, fighting and everything. The leader of it, and I am by no means a Russian expert. When I was in the Air Force, we had some people at our base that were Russian linguists, but I can't get the Russian language and names down and everything, but I'll give a stab at it. Prigozhin, I believe, was the guy's name, the leader of the Wagner Group. And Prigozhin led his forces out of Ukraine, and they crossed into Russia, and he headed towards Moscow. At one point, he had 5,000 or more troops of the private Wagner Group heading. And the curious thing was, the border guards, when they crossed into Russia, essentially laid down their arms, and many of them joined with them. Other military units, regular army and guard units, also did the same thing. They captured quickly the town of Rostov and some other key districts and everything. They were marching, and I first became aware of this Saturday morning, and by Saturday afternoon, yesterday afternoon, by about 1 or so, I think, our time, 1, 2 o'clock our time, the Wagner group and those that were joining with them were in the outer areas of Moscow, and rumors were flying all over the place. One of the rumors was that the two airplanes that normally would carry Putin to various places, kind of like our equivalent of Air Force One, I guess, had both departed Moscow and headed to St. Petersburg. Another report had that the government officials, Russian government officials, had fled Moscow, and some of them were in Turkey, some of them were in the United Arab Emirates, and also, as it turned out, some of them turned up in Belarus. And Belarus, of course, President Lukashenko in Belarus became pivotal in this a little later on. The Wagner Group was poised to take Moscow, and it looked like it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. They were almost unopposed in their march to Moscow, and it looked like the Putin government was going to fall, and so questions were beginning to be raised. What is going on in Russia? What is happening there? And one of the curious things is that, you know, back in the Cold War, which is the time when I was in the Air Force, the Soviet Union, of course, they had their share of spies, and Russia has their share of spies still in the United States. But they would watch places like the CIA and the Pentagon, you know, where you have some of the military intelligence groups and things that are there, and other places where they knew that analysts would be working. And one of the curious things that they would do during the Cold War is they would watch pizza deliveries take place. Say, what is the big deal about pizza deliveries? Well, think about it. You're in a government office and dealing, you know, with intelligence around the world, and all of a sudden something breaks off and you can't go home. You know, you have to stay there to follow breaking news. Something's taking place. You know, not everything that happens on a 9-to-5 schedule, you know, in Eastern Daylight Time. Some of it happens in when you're just getting ready to leave. The other part of the world is waking up and things are happening, and it goes on late into the night our time. And so you're stuck in the in the offices there. And people get hungry. And so the Soviets would count and keep track of pizza deliveries at places like the CIA to see what was going on at night. You know, did they have a bunch of pizzas? And they would watch and see, and they would see lights staying on late in different parts of some of these places like the CIA offices. And they would find out that some of the people working there were not going home, and they were canceling plans with family and friends and things like that. And then pizzas would begin to show up, bunches of pizzas. And these sorts of things started to happen. For instance, in 1962, when they discovered the Soviet missiles in Cuba, where they were sending them down, the Russian troops and tanks, also in 2022, invading the Ukraine, there were numbers of pizza deliveries. I was looking at one thing here. During a crisis, let me just read this. During a crisis in 1983, when the Kremlin freaked out over a huge NATO military exercise in West Germany, the KGB ordered its U.S. agents to look for late lights and pizza deliveries around Washington, among other signs of heightened strike preparations. Moscow Center was perplexed when its spies detected nothing out of the ordinary. That's because it was a military exercise, not a readiness for a preemptive strike on the Soviet Union. And apparently, Friday night, either our intelligence services knew nothing of what was going on over in Russia, or something else was going on, because, well, there didn't seem to be an increase in pizza deliveries and lights on in some of the offices late at night at the CIA and other places around Washington, D.C. Nothing unusual seemed to be happening. And so what was going on there? And so as I was following the events, and let me encourage you, if you're on Telegram, there's a great channel, Amir Sarfati, Sarfati. He's a former Israeli army, I believe it is, officer, military officer, and he's a Jewish man who's now a born-again Christian. And I believe this man has a lot of great contacts with military people in various parts of the world, as well as believers in various parts of the world. He travels extensively preaching and teaching on Bible prophecy and things like that. And he was putting out all kinds of information as this was breaking on Saturday. And one of the things that that came out, and he points this out in a statement that he made earlier today, I believe it was, and he posted a thing saying there's a story circulating that during his long and continuous stay on the Ukrainian front, Prigozhin met with Ukrainian intelligence officials. I'm reading from Amir Sarfati's website here, or Sarfati, and he says Prigozhin met with Ukraine intelligence officials and representatives of the CIA. Now this is interesting because on Saturday morning, Sarfati was saying, posting some things that it was rumored that the CIA, Mossad, the Israeli intelligence service, and MI6, the British intelligence service, were all behind or somehow involved in this operation. And so as Sarfati has posted here, he said the story going around is that the CIA offered Prigozhin $6.2 billion if he would carry out an armed coup in Russia. That's kind of interesting, $6.2 million. And the story has it, as he points out, that Prigozhin agreed but did not intend to go all the way, meaning all the way to Moscow, and that he even informed the Kremlin about this plan. That's kind of interesting when you look at it. So we may never fully know what was going on there, but it was very curious. And then President Lukashenko of Belarus stepped in as Prigozhin and his forces, the Wagner Group, was poised to take Moscow, or at least it appeared that way. All of a sudden, Putin and Prigozhin are being put together with Lukashenko to broker a peace deal. And the end result of it was that Prigozhin and the Wagner forces departed Rostov and some of the other areas. He departed, I forget where he went to, I think he went to Belarus or someplace else, and Putin agreed to pardon the people involved in the rebellion, which if you followed much about Putin, this man is a killer. He is brutal. And his history, if you followed some of his history from his days in the KGB during the old Soviet Union days and some of the things that he did in Chechnya, and it's just a brutal guy. And the idea that he's like, okay, you know, you were going to try and topple me from government, but we'll just agree to disagree in part, you know, maybe not friends, but we'll just, you know, it's okay. Something's up over there, and I think we need to keep an eye on what's happening there. Now, I'll get to that in a minute here, why, from a Christian perspective, we got to keep an eye on what's happening there. But, so Prigozhin gets off, and people are getting off, and he's promising not to prosecute people and all that. But then after he left, it apparently, he began arresting some of the people, which curiously made me wonder about, remember a few years ago when there was an attempted coup against Erdogan in Turkey? And what happened was it turned out that Erdogan was actually behind the coup against himself. You say, well, why would he do that? Well, what he did was he got people interested in toppling him to reveal themselves. And then after they found out who these people were, he swooped in and arrested a bunch of them. Well, apparently some of that has been happening in Russia. But another thing that has happened, which is curious, is that the current defense minister of Russia apparently is going to be replaced after this possible, supposed, is it or isn't it coup attempt. The former bodyguard, Serfati is reporting, the former bodyguard of Putin, Alexei, and I'm trying to read this through my glasses here, Dumin, I think, maybe head of the Tula region, may be in line to be the next Russian defense minister. And that General Sorobinkin will be appointed chief of the general staff. So it looks like there might be some kind of shakeup. Could it be that the CIA was involved and they thought that they might topple Putin and Prigozhin told them what was going on and they went through a charade? Maybe that's why the Russian military and, you know, regular military and guard forces just seemed to surrender en masse to the Wagner forces as they came through. No real battles going on. But what is interesting here is when we go to Ezekiel chapter 38, in Ezekiel chapter 38, there's a very important prophecy of a coming event, that'll take place, I think it might be in the nearer future than what we think, where a consortium of countries is going to attempt to invade Israel. And we see this in Ezekiel 38, where it starts in verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog in the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. And then he says, Persia, that be Iran, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. And it goes on to talk about this attempt to invade Israel. And when we look at this, and the names that are used here, we first see Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Well, God is historically identified with the land of Magog, and it's further described, as he said, as the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Chief comes from the Hebrew word Rosh. Well, is it coincidence that Rosh sounds an awful lot like Russia? In fact, the Hebrew scholar, I believe it's Gesenius, he lived in the late 1700s, early 1800s. He actually identified Rosh, the Hebrew word Rosh, in his Hebrew lexicon with Russia, as well as other scholars have done the same thing. So it appears it's not just a coincidental sounding word, but it appears that there is some merit to the idea that the word translated chief, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, the word translated chief is the Hebrew word Rosh, which has been associated with Russia. Well, let's look at a couple of other things. It appears that Gog is the leader out of Rosh, or Russia, perhaps, which heads up a coalition of nations there in Ezekiel 38. Magog, along with Meshech and Tubal, is mentioned in Genesis chapter 10, verse 2, as being the son of Japheth, one of Noah's three sons. Magog's descendants migrated north of the Black Sea and Caspian Seas and the Caucasus Mountains, to settle in the northern regions of Central Russia. Well, what's that? Or Central Asia. Well, what's that give us? There's a place up there called Russia, isn't there? And some other places as well. But they became later known better as the Scythians. And historians and archaeologists have determined that the Scythians, at their height, controlled an area from the Ukraine in the west through Siberia in the east, north of Mongolia and Iran. In other words, the land of Magog really does seem to represent Russia. And I would add into this the Ukraine and Kazakhstan. Makes it interesting, isn't it? This is partly why I believe that ultimately Ukraine is going to fall to the Russians. In some way or another, they're going to be under Russian control or influence. But let's continue on looking at some of these names. The descendants of Meshech, they also migrated to the north and appeared to have intermingled with the Scythians. They became known as the Muscae and then later as the Muscovs. Gennesius, again, as well as others, have associated that with the name of the capital of Russia, which is Moscow. So Meshech appears to refer to Moscow, which again points out the Russians. We got Tubal. Tubal's descendants also migrated north. They wound up in the area of modern-day Georgia and in southern and central Russia. And the capital of Georgia, Tbilisi, I think it is derived from Tubal, as is the name of the Tubal River. And the city of Tobolsk in central Russia. Persia, of course, we know is Iran. And we also see Ethiopia in the Bible as the area south of Egypt beyond the upper cataracts of the Nile River, essentially where the Aswan Dam is located today. And so that would include today's Ethiopia, Sudan, Kenya, Somalia, Djibouti, Eritrea, things like that would have been the Libya that's mentioned here. Ethiopia that's mentioned here. I said Libya, I meant Ethiopia. Libya, on the other hand, would be the area to the west of Egypt. Notice Egypt's not mentioned in this group. That's partly because there's implication in elsewhere in scriptures that Egypt will have been destroyed by this time, and that the population of Egypt largely will be living outside of Egypt. But that's a whole other area, another topic. But Libya would include northern Africa along the Mediterranean Sea and the Sahara Desert, And Ptolemy's map of the Nile River, ancient map of the Nile River, shows Libya extending west of Egypt and Ethiopia across northern Africa, which would include Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, things like that, possibly even Chad, Niger, Mali, and some of the other sub-Saharan countries. Then we also have Gomer, which could be shown to represent, because they spread northwest and colonized central and eastern Europe, spread through Europe, even reaching France and the British Isles and Scandinavian countries, but generally associated with the area of Turkey and parts of eastern Europe going up into the Germanic areas and ultimately Germany and the Baltic countries. And then Tagarma, according to Genesis chapter 10, verse 3, son of Gomer, Tagarma and his descendants largely settled where Turkey and Armenia is and stayed south of the Black Sea. So Tagarma would be represented by Turkey and Armenia. Interestingly enough, Erdogan pledged his support for Putin during this thing, as did the Iranians. They pledged their support as well. And could this be something that we see further shoring up the nations that operate in consortium against Israel in Ezekiel chapter 38? We'll be keeping an eye on this, and it may signal a coming crackdown where Putin may continue to establish ties and build his position if indeed they were able to root out some of his opposition. You know, he's a sly guy. And so we'll see what's happening over there. Continue to watch. We're running out of time in the program tonight, but continue to watch what's happening there. And we need to be aware. We know that there's things that are going to be happening in the world, and we need to be aware as Christians that these things don't take us unawares. But in the meanwhile, when we see these things happening, I'm reminded what Jesus said. We're not to be overwhelmed. We're not to be overcome with anxiety or fear or anything like that. In Luke chapter 21, when Jesus is talking about the events of the tribulation, he says, when you see the beginnings of these things happen, which I believe is the foreshadowing of these events, he says in Luke 21, verse 28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Friends, I believe it's time to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. If you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me encourage you to do so. And then get a King James Bible and start studying it and follow what the Bible has to say about things that are happening in the world today. Let the Spirit of God guide you and direct you, and don't be overcome. Look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thanks for listening to us tonight. God bless. Join us again next week. Have a great week. God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.